Shalom, this is Billy Bram, and I'm calling you from Brussels, Belgium, talking to you this morning. We're going to pray together. I have 41 states, and there are a couple of states that I don't have, we usually have. So if you were online from Vermont or from North Dakota, please let me know. And I think I heard, this would be a record, I think I heard Rhode Island. So that'd just be great. If you'd confirm that, Rhode Island, and we have Ontario. I heard you, Rachel, in Norway, and of course we have Canada calling. And Shelley and I are here in our hotel room in Brussels. And Brussels, yesterday we drove around a bit, and it's just as I remember it from. I haven't been here in about 6 years, I think we figured. And just so right to come back again because it's so on the line for the last days, the end of days. And I want to talk to you a little bit about a prophecy. Last night at the dinner, at our evening meal, we were talking with Philip Rood, who is the son of the pastors who were here many years that I came for, Lillian and John. And in 1983, Sister Wilkerson gave a prophecy at Rhema. I was there the night she gave it. And, you know, prophecy, God doesn't get all nervous about the time when it was given because all time to him is short. So this was in 1983, and she gave a prophecy that there were two cities that God was going to have a move in. One of them was London, England, and the other one was Brussels. And she said, before the man of sin makes it his headquarters, God's going to move there. And she spoke and prophesied about these two cities, and she said, the president of the United States will back you. And folks, we've long been looking for these to come to pass. We've been praying. There's a group of prayers here that were raised up under Lillian Rood, and we're going to meet and pray with them while we're here. I'm also speaking at a church while we're here. But those prayers have remained strong because Lillian and John were sitting in that. They were not even married yet. And God had placed it in their hearts, though, for Brussels, to go to Brussels. And Sister Wilkerson gave this prophecy. I was there. And then later, through the years, I've been coming, I came every year to Brussels. And we've done lots and lots of work here. And the fruit still remains. The prayers are strong. And Bishop Butler is sponsoring a pastor to come over here. Now, this young pastor, we had an evening meal with him last night and with Philip Rood, and he is a co-pastor at a church in London, England. And then he comes over here. It's not far by train. And he then pastors the church here that was the church the Roods pastored. And so he's connected with both cities, Brussels and London. Just last week, he had heard that there was such a prophecy, and someone sent it to him in French, and he was praying for an interpretation to it. Last night as we set that table with the wonders of modern day science, Philip texted his mother, Lillian Rood, in the Congo, Kinshasa, and she texted back the whole prophecy. So Brenda, I'm asking you on this line, if you will please put up that prophecy, because we know that in James 1, it's giving Elijah as an example of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, and he prayed concerning the prophecy that it would rain, and he had rain. And in fact, he sent his servant 7 times, and then he'd go back. You can find this in Kings. He'd go back and say, is there anything, any sign of rain? Finally, the servant said, I see a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, even though we've been looking, we've been coming over here to Brussels, and we've been praying about this prophecy, it has a line in it that says the president of the United States will back you. We have not had a president who would back us in a move of God until the present day president. Gary Bauer, who was a part of the Reagan administration, he ran for president himself as a candidate 1 year, and he is now the head of the CUFI office in Washington, D.C. He's a good friend, and Shelley and I gave him a ride in our plane back from our planning meeting at Hagee's Ranch for the CUFI leaders. And on the way back, he was talking to us about what an open door CUFI has to the president, and many evangelicals have to the president. And he said, I can tell you, it has never been this friendly. And I was a part of the Reagan administration, part of the office. And he said, it has never been like this. So I believe that it's time for this prophecy to us to see some developing of this prophecy. So Brenda will put it online, and then you can go on there and you can pray over it, just like it was prayed, the prophecy was prayed over. Now, here I am. And that prophecy said, before the man of sin or the Antichrist, I've forgotten exactly how she identifies him, but we know who it is. And before he makes it his headquarters, which he will. And I want to turn with you in some scriptures. If you don't have time to turn to them with me, I want to give you this as a prayer basis. And the first one's going to be in Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, we're going to start. But Daniel is praying about, they're nearing the 70th year of their captivity, the Babylonian captivity. And verse 16, he says that his prayer is about the city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, Jerusalem, and your people. So this is about Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and it's about Israel. So here the angel came, and he gave him the answer. I'm going to start reading at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now these are weeks of years. It's talking about 490 years. These are probably 70, I'm sure they are, 70 Shemitah year cycles. So it would be 490 years, 70 times 7. And it's just like in a basketball game. I'm a real basketball fan. And the game only takes, let's say for the pros, 48 minutes. But it takes about 2 hours for a game because they have timeouts and they have halftime. So with God's dealing with Israel's, and what he's doing, the 70 weeks, it says in verse 24, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do these things. Number one, to finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sins. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to set up the vision and prophecy. Number six, to anoint the most holy place. This will be the millennial temple. The numerical Bible says these 70 weeks are to complete Israel's restoration, or their preparation for their restoration. Another source I have written in my Bible, the 70 weeks measure the time from the incomplete restoration, when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, to the time of the complete one, when Israel will be returned to full favor of the Lord. So that's going to take 70 weeks of years, 490 years. Now, verse 25, know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So this tells us, from the end of that Babylonian captivity until when the Messiah comes, it will be 69 weeks of years. That's 483 years. Then Messiah will come. And then Messiah, after, verse 26, the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So after 483 years, Messiah is going to be coming cut off. That's going to leave 7 years. That 7 years time is what we call the last, it's the tribulation time. And it is the Daniel's 70th week. So verse 26, after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He shall have, and it shall be left desolate. King James doesn't translate it quite right there. But after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And we know that Jesus was cut off. And the people, get this, this is really, really important. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So Jesus came. He was cut off. And then, later, the city was destroyed and the sanctuary. And who destroyed the city and the sanctuary? We know it was the Romans. And it says, people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come here is talking about the Antichrist. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prince that was to come will be operating off the old empire revived. The Romans were the ones who destroyed the city. Now, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and they did in 70 AD. And the end shall be with a flood unto the end, and unto the end shall be war. It's what the Hebrew says. Verse 27, he, the prince that shall come, the Antichrist, shall confirm, just cross out the in your King James Bible and put a. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week of years, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So Daniel talks about an abomination of desolation, an abomination that shall bring such desolation to Israel. And this is the Antichrist. He's going to make a covenant. Something will cause the world to be thrown into what's like a chaotic condition. Could be a war. Could be Ezekiel 38-39 war. I don't know, but something. And then there will be a man with all the answers. And that answer man is going to operate. We could take you to Revelation of time on this phone call. He's going to operate off the basis of the old Roman Empire revived. The old Roman Empire revived is the European Union. When it was founded with its treaty, it was called the Treaty of Rome, and it was signed in Rome, and bells rang out over the whole city, and they reduced. They even called themselves the New Roman Empire. So now Jesus, he verified what Daniel said. If you will turn to Mark 24, or if you don't have time to turn there, just turn to, write it down, Mark 24:15. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. So Jesus knew this was going to be written down, going to be written down in Greek, which was the language then, the trade language of the whole Gentile world, eventually get to you in your language. And he says, he's writing now to the Jews. It's tribulation time, great tribulation. Verse 13, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. It's not you and I. We don't get saved by enduring to the end. It's the people during the tribulation time, the nations that are on the earth and the Jews that are on the earth. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this, excuse me, Matthew 24. Shelley said I got it wrong. Matthew 24, verse 13. And then Matthew 24:15, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let them understand. Let them which be in Judea come to the mountains. If you're on a housetop three, get out of town. For then, verse 28, shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time. So Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation. He talked again about it in Matthew. It's recorded. It was the same time, of course. Probably. He may have said it more than once. But in Mark 13:14, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where he ought not be, let him who reads this understand. and let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. He tells them, get out of town and pray. It says in verse 20, in Matthew 24, it says, you pray that your flight will not be in winter, nor will it be on the Sabbath. And of course, the only people who care about traveling on the Sabbath are the Jews. So he's talking to them, and he's giving them, there'll be books to read. There'll be this Bible left here on the earth even after you've raptured. And when they see the, he's going to go, and we know this from 2 Thessalonians. You might want to turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. It talks about the mystery of iniquity. And, of course, that's summed up in Satan and the Antichrist. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. The mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now hinders or holds it back, King James says letteth, but it's a better translation, he who hinders it or restrains it. Only he who now hinders or restrains until he be taken out of the way. I'm going to read the whole verse again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. And so that would be the church. We're restraining. We're holding back the mystery of iniquity. We're holding back the Antichrist. But when we're taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, notice King James has it capitalized, it means a wicked one, a person. And then shall that wicked be revealed. The Antichrist will then be revealed. No use guessing who he is now. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we know that this man of sin, go back to verse 3. The man, it ends with the verse, that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Jesus told us he stands where he shouldn't stand, and that would be in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. In the middle of those 7 years, he's going to announce to the world that he's God from the rebuilt temple, but he's not God. Now, here we are. We're not to that 7 years yet. I think it's coming pretty soon. The church will be raptured and will be in heaven during those 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I'm looking all around me here, and I have, Shelley and I are sitting here in my room, and there's a bay window that looks out over the street. This city has 2.5 million people, Brussels. It has more foreign to Belgium residents per capita than any other city in the world, has more foreign residents because of the European Union being here and the parliament being here and all the people who come to call on that parliament, to work at that parliament. And I am just sitting here looking out at all the people and all the souls. And I know the work of God is going here. It's not huge. But I feel like getting a little sign marching up and down the street saying, don't take the 666, don't take the numbers. If I could tell you all the strange things about this city, it would take up a whole day for a telephone call. Shelley, what do I need to talk? Oh, yeah, yesterday on the plane we saw where the airlines, Brussels Airlines, had their flight routes. And they had flight routes over Africa, and they had all the countries delineated clearly their borders. But in the flight routes over Europe, they didn't have any national boundaries marked out. They want everybody to think Europe and not think France or Germany or whatever. So now, here's what I want you to do. I've talked up almost the whole time, but I wanted to lay a foundation here. We had a holding back the Antichrist prayer meeting here one night. And I've forgotten how many nations we had involved in that. We are going to have another prayer meeting one night here. But 30 nations, Shelley said, we had that night. And they came here, 34 nations, and they came here to our prayer meeting. There are Christians here who are members of parliament, who are ministers in the, they, you know, from their countries to the parliament, but they don't really believe in what the European Union stands for. Shelley and I were at the European Union one time. We walked in and they had a little, you could put this thing in your ears, you know, and you could hear this, what they were saying. And they were saying, we are Babylon revived. Since the days of Babylon, when all the nations were divided, we are now united. So it's strange. And I sat here, I'm on the sixth floor, and I can look out over the rooftops. And it was a good place to rule and to reign. I want to ask you to pray for your leaders in Canada, for our leaders in America, for Benjamin Netanyahu, for Israel's leaders, to know what to do. Because these forces, remember what John said? He said the spirit of Antichrist is in the world even now. Of course it would be, because the spirit of Antichrist is Satan. And so, Father, in the name of all names, here I sit and I'm looking down. I'm going to get a picture of this, and I got to make sure I can recharge everything, recharge my computer and everything before I send out a blog today. I'm not sure about our ability here in Brussels because we just got here, but I want to send you a picture out my window. It's gray here most of the time. We came to Brussels. It was cold. We'd been in Nice, and it was nice there, sunshine, but cold and cloudy and rainy here and gray. Everything looks gray. And my heart just goes out to the people. So, Father, in the name above every name, I'm asking you to raise up your body of Christ to their part in hindering the mystery of iniquity. It is written that we should take it up until we're taken out of the way. And we hold it back, Father. As we do pray with our authority and sit in our seats of authority every morning, we're holding it back with our habitational authority. But we reach, Father, to our leaders. We reach to the president and administration. Oh, Father, sobre que la catania, John Bolton, Lord, we're thankful for him. We're thankful for his stand and his stand through the years as he stood for what's right. We thank you that he's in his place as a national security advisor. And we ask you to help him and to help the president, the vice president, the generals, the administration, all to know what to do, in this time period when the mystery of iniquity is being held back. We thank you for quickening every single prayer on this line, every single one of them, Lord, and showing them exactly what to do. Of course, this affects Israel. We lift up Israel. They're coming into the Passover season. We lift them up and we remind you, Father, of what is written in Hebrews, that everything is open and naked to you, the one with whom we have to do. The plots and the schemes that people would like to plan against the Jews at the Passover time, we ask you to reveal every one of them, to cause the authorities to find them or to cause them to blow up in their faces. And we pray for the shalom of Yerushalayim, this Pesach period. We pray, Father, even for May. We don't forget May that's coming up. We don't forget that our president has promised that we would fully move our embassy in May, celebrating the 70th year. Oh, Father, we do thank you for all the things about the 70th years that we don't know. The 70 years that they were in Babylonian captivity, the 70 years now since Israel has become a nation.
Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray for the shalom of Yerushalayim. The shalom of Yerushalayim. The wholeness of it. The wholeness of earthly Yerushalayim. And then the compacting together, as is written in the Psalms, of Jerusalem which is above and Jerusalem which is below. I just want to thank every single one of you for praying for Shelley and me. And Pastor Maria Lane is with us, and Philip is with us now. We're going to be here until Monday, and then we're going to go to Krakow and Poland and the death camps. So please, we know you've been praying for us, because we're riding along on your prayers. And then we thank you for your support. We thank you for keeping on sending that to the general account, so that while we're away, everything's paid, and we can go on with our work, and also this expensive trip that we're on right now. We want to thank all of you who have contributed. We believe, like Shelley said, she's over here prompting me, oh, Mom, they're going to get fruit to their account. And we do know that you will, and we believe for it. Your heavenly account is showing it, and it's going to show up right here on earth. And we just thank you for it and give glory to God for it. I know that my name has passed upon your lips during these times while we're here, and I know it went to God's heart and God's ear. And I just want to thank you and praise you and give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor for everything that is done in his holy, precious name. I look down upon all these people, and in Europe it's pretty pervasive that men don't have a living connection with God. And so thank you for lifting up Europe, and thank you for lifting up this harvest of souls that we believe God's going to bring in. I don't know how long it's going to take Brenda to get that up, that prophecy up, and just name it, Brenda, for them, London Slant Brussels Prophecy. Or you might put Wilkerson's London Slant Brussels Prophecy 1983. You'll find it with London Slant Brussels. Give her a little time to get it up. Thank you so much, and we love you. Shalom, shalom. Until next week, when we'll be in Poland.